this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about auditions, specifically, all those things you want to avoid. I'll explain. Today, I'm going to talk about auditions. I've chatted about this before on numerous podcasts, but I'm in one here, just going to kind of compress, beginning to end, tell you all those things that you must never forget. But before I do that, I'm going to be in Vancouver, May 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Training in town there, if you're interested in coming by and watching, or participating, you can email me at jeff@reallifeactor.com. I'm also going to be in Toronto from the 18th of June through the 30th. So if you're in that great city, look me up. Okay, before I get started, I want to read an email that I got. I think this fellow makes such an incredible point. You know, in the last podcast, I talk about that idea of dropping breadcrumbs. And I say that even you slick people out there, you think, no, I don't do that. I'm very clever when I act. Everyone knows it. Yes, I know. But you see, this is the thing. Even the most clever actors I've worked with, it's incredible how it's just kind of in the DNA of the actor to drop those breadcrumbs and kind of make sure the audience is following along by giving them, you know, little clues and ticks and tells. And so this particular email addresses it in a very interesting way. And so I'm going to read it to you. And the point will be made by its end. And you'll see what I mean. This is from a fellow named Steven. He says, "You don't know me. I'm an Australian actor coming at this later in life after a whole different career. I have finally just listened to your podcast today. It was a moment of serendipity and has had a powerful impact. It was the most recent one on breadcrumbs. Of course, your message was obvious, so obvious that I wanted to bang my head against a wall. What made it poignant was that a few days ago, I shot a self-tape for a support role in a feature film. My character was busted by a cop, being in a place where he shouldn't be. So he makes up a story. I diligently threw down creative breadcrumbs to help the audience understand. I submitted it to my agent, and I was happy. But I began to doubt, as we do. Then I heard your podcast. I did not need to drop breadcrumbs in this scene because the audience knew the character was hiding the truth. They had more of the story than the cop. They didn't need to be treated like idiots. More importantly, a cop is trained to sniff out BS, and if my character really wanted to fool the cop, he would have, should have, behaved very differently. What's worse, from my perspective, is that I was once a cop, a detective, and I know how well a cop can sniff out BS. The only way the cop would walk away at the end of the scene, like she does, is if she believed the story. But my performance was unquestionably unauthentic, and I should have ended up in cuffs or tased. Thanks to you, I'm going to make a sign and put it in my self-tape space to make it a breadcrumb-free zone." Now, what I love about this, of course, aside from it just being a charming story, is that the guy was a cop. He was actually a cop. You see the point I'm making? Is that even you clever people out there who knows what's what, you always want to be vigilant and really make sure you plan it on the square and you're not trying to let anyone know through your indicated acting what's really going on as you clear your throat, as you look away quickly or whatever else you telegraph out to the audience. You don't need to do it. Here was a cop and he couldn't even use that simple logic. So there you have it. Stephen, thank you so much. for that beautiful email. And you know what? I think you're cured. Okay, I'm going to talk about auditions. Okay, so from the very beginning, here's how it's going to work. I'm just going to just go right through it quickly. A bunch of things, mostly don'ts. I have a feeling they're all going to be don'ts. Okay, so here's the first don't. Well, whether you're the type of actor that gets to choose whether you're going to go in on things or whether you're the type of actor that just has to basically take what comes, here is the first thing. Don't ever belittle the piece in any way once you've decided you're going to do it. So if you have an agent and that's your thing and you say, yes, I'm going to do the audition, even though you had some trepidation, same thing for however, whatever service you use that allows you, you send your picture in some other way, whatever the deal is, once you've said you're going to take it, you do not badmouth that piece. You don't talk about how the writing's bad. You don't talk about how this thing's not fleshed out. You don't talk about how silly it is, how dumb, how poor the writing is. You don't do any of that stuff because you see all that stuff, that's just a cop-out. That's just bullshit behavior, unbecoming of a champion. You don't do that. You want to be one of these professionals that when you say you're going to do something, that's it, you do it. You don't badmouth it. You don't make fun of it. You don't constantly kvetch about it and how, you know, it's not this and it could be that and it could be that, but it's this. You don't do any of that stuff. That's just bullshit, negative behavior. And it generally sets up a situation to where then when you, you know, don't get it, you tell your friends, I think it's a piece of shit anyway. You know, they did me a favor. They did me a service. Yeah, woulda, shoulda, coulda. Come on. Now, you're going to work on the piece, right? Okay, here's the other thing. You got to make this like a pledge that no matter what it is, you're going to bust your ass on it. When I say bust your ass on it, I mean, you're really going to go over and get your lines down and do your best, whatever your system is. And of course, you know, I have a system, but I'm not going to go over that in this podcast. I'm just going to say, whatever your way of work is, whatever it is you're doing, do it for every single one. And don't wait till the last second. You know, if you're ever wondering what you should do, think to yourself, what would a champion do? And then do that. That's really the easiest way to settle these things. That way you don't have to wonder. You can just say, what would a champion do? And a champion, you'd think, yeah, they probably work on it every day. Put a little away every day. Just get the thing done. Get on top of that thing, you know. Don't be some last-minute person. That way you don't have that anxiety of being the last-minute person that then ends up getting into the room and, yes, and you didn't like the part anyway and you've got, you know, at least 107 excuses. They can come in handy. You want to be the person who, once you take it, you never badmouth it. You just get on it. You get the work done and you work just as hard no matter what, because that's the word on the street about you, is that when you show up, whatever the case, whatever you show us, you've looked at it. You know what you're doing. You know your lines. You've given it time. You've given it respect, and you've given that same respect to the people who are, you know, giving you this opportunity to get on board. So that's how you're known. Okay, couple of quick notes. Never wear costumes. Don't wear costumes. Don't dress in a costume. Simple rule of thumb, whatever you could wear at your neighborhood grocery store and no one would think it was odd, you can go to a casting in that. You know, that's it. You might wear a suit, but you'd never wear a tuxedo to your grocery store or a ball gown or, you know, a full Western gear with chaps. You wouldn't dress up like a king or a queen, right? You'd never want to look like you're trying too hard. Okay, that's one. Two, don't bring props. Don't take props. Don't think you need props. That's not what we care about. We don't go, God, I love this props. Let's hire him. That's not how it works. The rule of thumb, simple, whatever a woman would normally carry with her in her bag, in her whatever, you're allowed to use. A man, whatever a man would normally carry on his person, you can use. That way it doesn't look like you're trying hard. My phone can be a whole bunch of things, including a phone. My wallet can be a gun, whatever, if I need something in my hand. If you're a woman and you carry a bag, you have more resource, so whatever you would normally carry in there, you can use. That's fares if you have to have a prop. All right? But don't get prop hungry. Don't get prop happy. And don't imagine that you ever have to do any miming. We want you to cut out the miming. I'll tell you what miming does to the viewer. It makes us nervous because, you know, suddenly you've become a mime and now you're acting, yet we know there's nothing in your hands. And it's just, there's an awkward kind of, wish that person wasn't miming. Don't mime. Just figure that stuff in the script doesn't have to happen unless it really, really, really has to happen. And then mime really well and quickly and get it over with. You know, we just want to watch the acting. That's it. That's all we want. We don't need you in costume. We got costume departments. We don't need you bringing in props. We got prop departments. We'll stick this stuff in your hand. Right now, we want to look at the cut of your jib and we want to see if you can act. And if you're going to look really cool next to the other person, that's basically it. So keep it simple. There you go. That way you look like a pro. Here's another question you can always ask yourself. What would a movie star do? Would a movie star bring a bunch of props and dress up? Nah, why? Because they're a movie star. And we know who they are. We know they're good actors. And they're just like really kind of calm and cool. And they don't bring stuff in. They know it's all about the acting. Hence, that's why they're movie stars. Act like a movie star. Don't be late. Don't put yourself in a position where you could be late. Don't. Hey, listen. When I audition, I don't like to hang out in the room with all the other people that look more like me than I do. I don't like that. So I generally like to time it to where I basically walk in, sign in, sit down, they call my name. That to me is bliss. So if that's what I want to do, I'll usually get in the area early. And I can hang out in my car, go for a walk or whatever. That way I can kind of time my thing. And that way I know I'm never going to be late. I used to be late. I used to be late for things, you know, when I was young. And I always had anxiety because I was late. And I knew I was late. And I knew I was going to be late. And I was late. And then I realized that, you know, a champion wouldn't do that. A champion wouldn't work it out to where they actually were mature enough to look at a clock and know how to read it properly and could actually guesstimate how long it's going to take to get somewhere. I decided I want to be one of those people. Why not? I mean, if I can be, you know, 10 minutes late, I bet you I can be 10 minutes early. I know I can do it. I'm sure I can. I mean, it's not like I'm a doctor on call or something and I had a patient. No, I could just get where I'm going. That way, you see, I don't have to have this bullshit anxiety thing going on. Yet another thing an actor can talk about and say, yeah, no, and then I had the thing and then I'm out, you know, running out the door with this script that I hate, you know, the dumb thing. And then I didn't get to wear my cool costume because Jeff told me I couldn't. And you know, and this is how a lot of actors conduct themselves. You see, that way you've always got your out of why you didn't get it. You didn't need it anyway. It was dumb and, you know, it was a bad day for auditioning. I had that thing and I was late and blah, 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 blah. When you sit in the office, don't go over your lines, okay? Just don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not what champions do. You don't sit out there and go, you try and figure it out at the last second. You're hoping that you're going to get it together before they open the door. You got like, what, another minute? Quick, quick, come on, come on. Go over the lines one more time, one more time, one more time. Hopefully on the next one, and then I'll go in, and it'll be just right. Really? Is it that fragile of a performance, of a rendering you're about to do? It's just, I gotta put one more spit polish on it before we take it in. Really? Well, don't do that. Okay, so I tell you what then go backwards in time and make sure you take time to where you can do the perfect thing, and that is to show up and not sit there and look at your lines like every other amateur in the room. No, don't. Just sit there and enjoy watching everyone else doing their pantomime and all the stuff they're doing and talking to the wall and yelling at a lampshade. Let that go on around you and allow yourself to find comfort in knowing you're so present and comfortable and in the pocket. You can just look out at this menagerie of activity, this menagerie of art, whatever, and be cool as a cuke. And when you walk in, man, just be in a good mood. Have the same look on your face you have when you're going to meet and greet people in real life. You know, everybody intuitively knows how we do that. We do it very well. I mean, if any of us have any sort of social decorum, we all know how to do that. It's just this thing we do. We know how to make people feel at ease, and we smile, and we say hello, and we know how to be pleasant. My point is, don't look complex. Don't any of you out there think that we like it when the actor comes in and they're all like, I don't know, confused because they're just so incredibly artistic that they got to look down and then almost look like they didn't know what I meant when I said hello, and then look back at their script and scratch the back of their head, and then we're going to know that a genius is about, you know, shut up. Please don't do any of that stuff. It just looks stupid. It makes us nervous. It makes us wonder what kind of social misfit just walked in now. Okay, great. And what's going to happen? You're going to be really, really great? Okay, look, there is a rule. You can get away with everything if then when you act, it's really Marlon Brando. I mean, it is something that it just absolutely slays the room every time. You are a slayer of rooms. Yeah, whatever. Come in, burp. Stare at people, do whatever you want, because apparently you're going to blow us away. Great, then blow us away and all is forgiven. But if you can't do that, in case you're just a mere mortal like the rest of us, then what I would suggest is that you come in with the least amount of baggage possible. Okay, so here's something that's very important for you to understand. Listen, when we have actors and we hire them, one of the things that we are most protective of is the sanity of our sets. This is just something, it's just kind of built in, and people don't really talk about it. But if you were to analyze it and break it down, you realize that a lot of the trepidation people have for the things that I will describe in more detail as we go along, it really has to do with worrying that someone is going to upset the apple cart. There's going to be tantrums, weirdness, fear, just odd behavior, weird conversations, too difficult to deal with, they're too scared, they're too emotional, you know, whatever that extra stuff is, it really scares us. Once bitten, like 30 times shy in the entertainment industry, and that's only because it costs so much. I mean, in real life, you know, amongst neighbors, yeah, once bitten, twice shy. But in the industry, once bitten, just don't ever come around here again. It's moolah. Which always brings us back to the other thing. If you could have your favorite actor, who would it be? It would be this really cool, amazing actor who just was so cool to watch, and you really, really dug that actor. And then on top of that, they were user-friendly. They hardly needed any time to do anything. They didn't talk a whole bunch. They got right to work, got it over with quickly, and were just easy breezy. Right? I mean, if you had to be a complicated person and be all weird and scratch your back of your head and everything, and you delivered all the time, we'd put up with it. Of course we would. I mean, after all, you're you. But if you weren't those things, then nah. No thanks. We got the TikTok problem and we have the money problem. We got TikTok and money. And that in the industry, I don't care how artistic we're being, the bottom line, the thing that drives the gears are those two things, the money and the TikTok. So when you're looking for that ideal world, you're looking for user-friendly, not too many moving parts, people who can do anything, no muss, no fuss. So anything that would exhibit that you might be of that ilk, you have to cut out like it is a malignant tumor. You can't do any of that shit. Now, what am I talking about? It brings us right up to walking in the room. Never, ever, 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 and when I say that, I mean like as in never, offer up any excuse, any kind up excuse about anything. How late you got the thing, you know, what happened on the way here, your hair was supposed to be cut but it isn't, you were supposed to have it dyed yesterday but you didn't, don't have the accent down, I'm sorry, these shoes are brand new and they really hurt my feet, that's why I'm not going to be great today. Whatever thing that's going to come out of your mouth that's going to somehow, you think somewhere in your head, it's going to kind of soften the blow of your mediocrity, do not bring it up. You can't. Because above all else, the one thing we can't have on our TikTok money set are excuse makers. And if we don't know you and you're kind of brand new, oh man, no, you're just a hot potato. You're a scalding potato, I have to say. Hot, yeah, maybe I'd try and hold it for a second, but a scalding, no. You're a scalding potato. Want to be a scalding potato? Walk in and make excuses, bullshit excuses. Okay, let's move on. You know, my favorite thing when they say, do you have any questions, is that you actually say no. I've said that on many podcasts, and I know I've said a lot of these things, but I'm kind of smooshing them all together, okay? So you kind of listen to this once, just like a kind of a brush up on auditions and all the things we want to avoid that we, because somehow we end up doing. We do. Just like the policeman in that beautiful email ends up doing something he would have never put up with as a policeman. He would have, you know, immediately, as he said, tased the fellow. If you have a question you have to ask, then ask it. But it's really cool because we're always running late and we just want to find the gold as quickly as possible. It would really be great if you didn't have any questions because, yeah, usually the answers to those questions that you think are so important really don't make any difference. I mean, once in a while, something is so confusing, it really is going to bear on your performance, and I don't mean in a subtle way. It's just something huge. Those kinds of things usually can be figured out before you get into the room, so do it then. Again, you want to be this like magic person who walks in, is just cool and collected and fun and present, doesn't have any questions, crushes the thing, crushes it, and then just walks out like that was nothing. Make sure that when you're doing your audition with the person you're reading with, that you're actually hooking up with that person. You're actually asking that person what's the deal is. You're actually cross-examining that person. You're actually taking that person to task. You're actually letting that person know how upset that person has made you. Now, I'm saying this in a very personal way. Don't forget to do it, because most of the time, of course, actors do, and they kind of just lob all of their acting in the direction of that person, you know, with a really good idea of what they had planned to do, and it's not far from what they could ultimately deliver, but you can't remember what the person looked like that you just read with, so you really weren't making sure that the stuff was landing and sticking as you were kind of going through it, and that's lost because, you see, we get a little nervous and we forget to do that. Now, remember, when you leave the room, you want that reader to look over at us and go, wow, it's weird. I thought she was actually mad at me. I just got it crazy. Yeah, that's the stuff. And the only way you get to that is not through inflection. It's through actually taking the time to make sure you hook up with that person you're reading with. And you see, the deal there is that if you do that, that's also going to help ground you and keep you just that much more legitimate and authentic. So, you know, you're going to want to revel in this little idea here. Don't forget this one. When the thing's over, when it's over, hey, leave with your head up always. And that's where our energy is. It isn't a barometer of what we think our performance was. That's not what we do there. We don't barometer our performance for these unfortunate people who now have to watch the corners of our mouths kind of go down like a sad clown because we didn't like the way we did it. It was so much better in the living room when I was sitting on the settee. No. Because again, that's not what pros do, and that makes us nervous on our TikTok money set, you see? Because we can't have sad asses. We can't have sad asses on the set, because you see, sad asses on the set, what you become this like black hole of energy, and all of the energy in the room gets sucked in there, because ultimately we all want the sad asses not to be so sad. And so we have to spend a little extra time, and we're kind of aware of that scowl across the room. And it just kind of, with caring people in particular, you see, on a caring set with caring people and caring co-actors, it just makes us a little sad. And we kind of wish you suddenly were like anywhere else, like maybe on another continent. So, which brings us to the next thing, and that is, do you ask to do it over again? Man, please don't try. Try not to. Just really, really, really try not to. Just pretend like it's so you think you can dance. I know it's just TV when I watch that show, but I'm really under the impression that they kind of get one chance. I know some of you are saying, well, they're dancers. That's how, it's a, you know, that's how you separate the good ones from the bad ones. You get one chance, you see, because that's what dance is. It's live, and you gotta, let's just pretend like acting's the same thing. How about that? How about if part of the way we decide is that we decide if you, new person who I don't know, you don't have many credits, are you going to be able to nail it, or are you going to have like 3, 4, 22 kicks at the can? Because the less times you need to nail it, the more comfortable we feel, because we think, okay, there you go. We got a heavy hitter here. They walk in, crack, the ball goes over the fence, and they walk out. That's beautiful. What if you don't do that? Okay, well, I guess if you have to. I mean, if you really, really, really shit the bed and you feel like you've got to go back in and take a second one, then I guess you're going to do it. But I promise you, here, see, here's a problem. The problem I have with telling people it's okay to do that is that you're going to sit on your shoulder there with a little metal mallet ready to break the glass in case of emergency, emergency being you're sucking. You start to think about it halfway through your scene. You start to think, this is sucking. Well, this is really sucking. We're going to have to go for a second take on this, you see? And that's already starting to, of course, erode your good work, because a human being doesn't think about such nonsense. I think the best way to tackle that is to kind of be this person that says, I'm going to go in and do it once. That's what I do. I do it once. And then I think you kind of become one of those people. Now, again, is there anything wrong with needing twice? No. No, and they'll ask you lots of times. If they ask you, of course, it's always perfectly fine. But a lot of times they do. So what does it matter if you do it once or twice? Well, I don't like these actors that get really uptight about their own performance. You know, they'll want to do it again and again and again. I'll start to think, listen, are you really present in the scene, or are you just sitting there in judgment of your own performance while you're performing? It starts to feel more like a vanity thing to me almost. You know, I'm thinking you're a little too consumed about how you look and how you sound if you need to go over and over again. How about this? How about you just focus on what you're talking about? How about you do that? Okay, and then I bet you it's going to be great. Hey, you know, in life, I'm not sitting there while I'm doing something ever thinking, maybe I should just start this conversation over again. I'm sucking. I know that's a simple way to put things, but it's the truth. And as I keep bringing it all back to life, hey, maybe that's why we don't have this problem in life, is because we don't allow ourselves that indulgence. When you go home after you've left the room like a real pro and thank them for their time, and you don't have the little corners of your mouth going down, down. No, you thank them. You act as though nothing was wrong, because I can tell you there are times when I know people are nervous, but man, I love your spirit. I love the fact that you seem unfazed. And that I know you had that hiccup, but that you're professional enough to know that I would look around that, and I know people have hiccups. And it's not about laying down a perfect track when you walk in. It's about me deciding if you look like the person and then if you have chops. Yes, I know. People get nervous. They goof up. It's not a big deal. Let's not obsess about those things. I'd rather you goof up and not worry about it, but know that I saw enough of your stuff to know that you know your business. I would rather you go that way than obsess on these little things, because it's almost, in some ways, an insult to my intelligence. It's like, guy, I know you stumbled there. No one cares. Don't worry about that. We know. It's an audition. No, I'm looking at all the other great stuff you did that you should know you did. And on your way home, take it easy on yourself, no matter what it is you did. people I know in the guise of, hey, I really care about my work, they're so hard on themselves. You speak to yourself and you treat yourself like you never would treat anyone else if you were their manager or personal life coach. You would never dream to speak to that person that way. You know, you wouldn't keep your job, or you'd be just known as this incredibly cruel monster. You would never speak that way to anyone else, but yet we think it's okay to do it with ourselves because we say, hey, I just am demanding the most. Well, my question is, how's that working out for you, man? Because, you know, I know for myself, I don't mind going over the stuff that could have been better, but I really like to focus on all the cool stuff I did. Everything. Anything. Being on time, having my stuff memorized, taking it seriously, you know, wearing the appropriate kind of thing that isn't a costume but was a nice choice, the way I presented myself, you know, what about all the other things that I did right? And if I did nothing right, then how about if we just chalk that one up to, okay, let's not do too many of those. How about that? Come on, let's get back in there. I know I feel better when I'm given respect, when I respect myself, when I realize this is where it is. And you know the deal is, if I'm so great, if I can do so well, then I guess I got to be doing it in the room when the pressure's on. Otherwise, that's just like a nice goal. But I can't get mad at myself because I couldn't do the magic in the room. Then I guess right now or on this particular day, I'm incapable of doing that magic, okay? And that's the way it is. And I don't think we get there by screaming at ourselves. And then finally, don't bug your agent about it. You know, these people aren't shy, man. If they want you for the role, they don't goof. They figure out how to get you. They figure out where your agent is. Everybody figures it out. That's it. That's how it works. When you finally find someone that you like, you sort that out. And then finally, is it like feedback? Well, you got to watch that too, because, you know, if every single client that went into every single audition wanted feedback, yeah, the agent would be on the phone all day long asking feedback, that cast, and that would just be one agency, your agent and all of his clients. What about all the other agencies and all their, I mean, it's just something you can't really do. Once in a while, it can happen that your agent and this casting director on a really, they're very close, they've known each other forever, and your agent, he or she knows that they can just kind of drop your name. Oh, by the way, how did Sam do the other day? You know, and they can kind of do that. But the formality of making those calls and everything, forget it. Move on to the next thing. All right? You want to be a champion, act like one, treat yourself like one. Get on your work, walk in there like a shiny penny, don't fret stuff, act like a total pro, do what we'd expect you to do, and, you know, don't talk too much. That's what I got for you. I hope it helps. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.